Today on Chesapeake Shores, we talk about relationships. Are they getting better? Are they getting worse? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, Chessies. Back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing Chesapeake Shores After Show, Season 2, Episode 7. All Our Yesterdays. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter, at SerafiniTV, joining me as always.
Hey, Chessies, it's Stefan Lovegrove. As always, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove. And welcome to all of you who are interacting with us live, who are commenting. But specifically, I just wanted to shout out the person who just watched their first episode of Chesapeake Shores last night. Welcome to the family.
Welcome. And you were questioning if you should go back and watch all the other episodes. Yes, yes, you definitely should.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, I recommend.
So many storylines, you have to watch the previous episodes to know what's going on in this one. So a lot of things to talk about. Overall, quick thoughts.
Well, in some ways, this episode had a lot to keep track of, particularly when Trace performed that new song that we haven't heard before. And in that little one montage, there were like all of these storylines occurring. But at the same time,
Again? Oh, we've heard that several times.
We've heard that song?
Yeah, several times.
Oh.
That's not new.
I guess we
have. That's one of the first songs he's ever performed.
I think it's an older one, and I'm just so used to Free Fall because we've heard it ad nauseum the last several weeks that I forgot Trace had any other songs. But in any case, there were a lot of storylines, but I told Marissa before we went on, it didn't pull on my heart quite as much as normal. So I think it moved a lot of things forward. But I don't know that it pulled on my heart. It wasn't quite as emotional, but definitely an interesting episode. Definitely a lot to talk about.
I wouldn't say yet. Not quite as emotional. There were moments where it almost could have gotten there, but it didn't. It stopped and quickly like brushed past it. And we'll definitely get
We were
into
like on the brink of emotion.
Yes.
Several times. There were several times where we were like hovering over there and we just didn't quite go there.
Yes, yes. But let's do go there, shall we? Jess and David, what do you think of Jess's approach to trying to tell what she wanted to tell to David? Did you see this coming? Do you believe that this relationship has built up to this point?
Well, I think it's very believable because they have a history.
Yes.
You know, the tension is always more unknown and awkward if you don't know if it's reciprocal. But, like, they have a history. They know there's some level of feelings and attractions there on both ends. So I think it's very believable. Some of the most interesting tension that I've ever seen with the 445 degree chicken parmesan. That was the most awkward moment. But I kind of love it. I kind of think this is adorable how much they're trying to live in denial. I kind of like it.
It was awkward, but really funny to watch because, you know, it was that moment that could have been easily replaced with I love you, but they didn't do that. Or I like really like you to the point where we should start a relationship in that sense, but you could change out those words for anything else.
Well, and what really pushed it over the edge was him being like, was it too forward? Not too forward, something like that. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, we're not even pretending that this isn't. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Christy said, I love how they talk around how they feel using food euphemisms. From the scones to the chicken parmesan, that is exactly what they are doing, I'm afraid.
Chicken parmesan. I mean, I felt for Jess when she tried cooking. I'm not one to chastise that because you wouldn't find me dead in a kitchen. But I applaud her for trying.
I do as well. To make sure I understood right, when he pulled one out, that was his own that he had been like secretly making throughout the day to save the day. I love that. And I remembered the dish particularly because I was eating chicken parmesan was my dinner that I made at home last night. And I turned it on before Chesapeake Shores. And then here I am watching the show. And thank God David saved the day with his backup plan meal.
What are the options? You know,
what did she think she was going to eat? And how did she leave the plastic on something?
That happens, okay? It happens.
On the chicken?
I'm not speaking from experience, but I'm saying if you're not very well experienced in the kitchen, you might leave something such as that when you're cooking.
Well, if anything, I don't even know if it's kitchen inexperience. I think it's believable that that would happen because she's so nervous.
She tried so hard.
She was in a fluster. She was so stressed about it and calling everybody and back and forth. So anyway, I think they're adorable. What did you think of her conversation with Kevin, though?
I was going to ask that. Like, I really enjoy that because we don't really get a lot of just Kevin moments. So I like that at the beginning.
I know. I think we've had Brie and Kevin.
He gave her some good advice. Don't kiss her. Don't kiss him. Sorry. Don't kiss him. And then yet she still
didn't. Which advice maybe he should have followed.
She didn't listen to anyways at the end of the episode. But it was a nice bonding moment.
Right, well,
I don't think it was necessary because it's not like she listened to it anyway. She let her heart feel instead of her brain.
Right, no, and I don't think the purpose of the conversation for us as viewers was that she was going to follow that advice. I think the purpose was for her to confess, I feel like I just mess up relationships. I think that was kind of a theme of this episode, is like relationships falling into patterns and people avoiding relationships because of patterns. And anyway, I'm rooting for Jess and David. I agree with Trisha. David seems very thoughtful. I think that he cares a lot for Jess, and I am rooting for this relationship.
Yeah, I like it because we saw it in the first season just a little bit, and then it kind of played off of, should Brie be the one with him? But I like those two together, Jess and David, and I'm excited to see where it heads.
And overall, I think they had a successful episode. Even if they were talking underneath the actual words, I think that they...
But we still got the message across.
It was a good relationship moment for
them.
They
know how they feel about each other, so I give them that. Let's talk about Kevin, though. Kevin and his relationship with Sarah. I'm for this relationship. I want to see where it goes. But it's literally not moving anywhere. Even Kevin said, same, nothing new. What are your thoughts?
Well, I said very openly this was my least favorite of the relationships last week. Not that I couldn't be sold on it, but that last week I didn't feel that way. I still felt undecided. And this week left me more undecided, maybe. I don't know. The thing that's weird about it, it's weird how awkward it is for them to try to talk. I keep saying awkward, but there was a lot of awkward in this episode. It's very awkward for them to talk about the future. That was a very tense conversation.
Yeah.
No outward tension necessarily, but you could tell their future plans don't necessarily jive, and that's unresolved. And then I just thought it was super awkward when she didn't want to kiss him.
Yeah,
I thought I would feel awkward. So rejected.
I mean, that's what I put in my notes. That's rejection. It was awkward to see it because that happened in front of other people who were watching. And you even saw the shot of the friend fire guy there. And he was like, ooh, something's not happening. And it's really unfortunate because when they went to the beach, you think that would be a nice bonding moment, a date sort of, you know, during the day where they're getting to know each other. They're reading books by themselves. They're sitting next to each other, but they're reading to themselves. That's just another isolated hobby that you do.
Right.
But they weren't talking to each other. And then when they said the next place they're going to a library. They're going to an actual designated place that enforces silence. So it's another place that you don't talk to each other. They're not talking. They're not communicating like a building relationship should be.
Right. Well, it's... You know, it's funny because Janae said, I'm glad that we're finally seeing them on dates. And to your point, I want to say, I don't know if we can count these as dates.
I mean,
they're not speaking on them.
It's like you go to the movie. It's not really a date because you're not talking to each other during a movie.
Right. Well, I don't know. If that was an official date, okay, I'll give you that. We'll count it as a date. But it doesn't really seem like things are going very well. And I think this was Ariadne's point, but somebody in the live chat was making the point that it seems like Kevin maybe wants it or is more sure of it than Sarah. And I just, you know, this is the point that I said last week that again is reinforced for me. It's got to go both ways. It's got to be a two-way street, you know? Otherwise, it's stalker. It's not fun. It's heartbreak. It's got to be a two-way street. And so if I'm in this position and she doesn't seem to really want to hang out and, you know, she's not kissing him back and whatever, I don't think those are good signs.
No, they're definitely not good signs. Those are red flags instead of signs. You mentioned they're aligned where their future plans aren't lining up with each other. We now know that Kevin's taking the MCATs. What happens when he actually passes it? And he's moving out of the house to another location. What happens when that happens?
It's like, what happens to those two? Well, I didn't get the impression the location necessarily affects Sarah.
It could. We don't know.
It could.
In like geographical sense of how far away he's actually moving away from. But if he, you know, passes the MCATs, that's a whole new career that he's going to have to focus on rather than this relationship.
Right.
You said it. Their future plans aren't lining up with each other.
But also, okay, I do want to make this point. They're not Trace and Abby. So are they really at... I guess we can say they've had an official first date, but I would raise the question, are they really at a point where they need to be talking about the future yet? I feel like this is the opposite of the LA problem. In LA, people want to go super slow and not take things seriously.
No,
the O'Briens rush in, inviting people to family dinner as a first date.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it's like, they haven't even figured out if they're compatible and this works as a relationship. And yes, it does seem like they're already trying to bring up the red flags of future conflicts. And it's just, I don't know, to me, it's just too soon to go there.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. We've now had maybe five episodes of them two kind of going back and forth a little bit. This kind of feels like a cat and mouse game, but yet nothing has come out of it so far.
I don't know. I just honestly, I don't have an opinion one way or the other about this. In terms of, I feel like indifferent.
Indifferent.
It can work out. It cannot work out. This is the one I'm least invested in, honestly.
Yeah. Well, you know who's someone else who's invested? Connor. Him and hit this law firm. I called it. He was going to leave soon. He was not happy there. He was soul searching. He decides to leave. But what were your thoughts of Connor's decision? The whole slow process of him realizing his work environment. People around him aren't happy. That poor guy, Mr. Coates, he spent 40 years there and all he got was a measly applause. No going away party, no cake. I'm just like, really? It's sad. You do not want to get stuck at a place like that.
I just, you know, I felt for Connor because he just looked around and it was such a depressing sight. Everybody looked miserable. Honestly, I think it's a good enough reason to leave a job if you realize I'm here and I'm miserable. That's grounds enough as far as I'm concerned to like then leave. But beyond that, everybody was miserable, which I think shows it didn't get better with time. You know, the 50 and 60 and 70 year olds who are there are still exhausted and tired.
They're lifers.
Anyway, I am so proud of Connor. I love that storyline this episode. I was so proud of him for quitting.
Resigning.
Which I was going to ask, what is the difference? Does anyone want to comment and let us know? Because he made a point of, I'm resigning. What is that?
Resigning is the official decision in a business to move on, to stop what you're doing. Quitting is just like, I'm done. I'm never coming back to this place. Quitting is a more negative way of departing from a location.
So resigning is just more professional.
Resigning is a more professional way of leaving your job.
Now, okay, this is an interesting discussion. Ariadne says, I think it was the glamour of being a lawyer on TV that drew him more than anything. I say yes and no to that. I do think he had an idea in his head of what being a lawyer was going to be. And clearly this firm did not live up to that. But I think he does have a passion for the law and justice and protecting people. I very much missed Danielle in this episode, because I think that side of him comes out, and I don't think that was just his childhood daydream based on TV.
Yes, I mean, I completely understand. I mean, television has that ability to really influence your life and career. I mean, all growing up, I personally wanted to be a doctor. Like, seriously, if I didn't go into film, I would have gone into medicine. Because there's an allure to it that you're like, man, I could do that. I wish I could do that, you know? So, I mean, it's very understandable that Connor may have gotten that impression that law is great for him. And you can see he likes some parts of it, but that particular job was not lining up to what he envisioned it out to be.
Okay, so, Marissa, of accurate predictions. Do you think Connor will find another law position?
That's actually in my predictions.
That's in your predictions.
So we'll move on. But speaking, I mean, I wanted to become a doctor growing up, but because I didn't, we're going to tell you another show about a good doctor.
We Stefan. Are. And for those of you watching, very timely for you, because this literally is applicable in a little over an hour. So, a new medical drama is coming to ABC on Monday nights this fall, beginning actually this Monday night, called The Good Doctor. It's the story of a young man with autism and savant syndrome named Sean Murphy, who becomes a surgical resident to get talk today at a prestigious hospital. This young doctor exhibits genius level skills and is capable of seeing things in ways that no one else can. Alone in the world and unable to personally connect with those around him, Sean uses his remarkable medical gifts to save lives and challenge the skepticism of his colleagues. The character's unique medical condition adds a new dimension to the drama, and it comes from a producing team of David Shore, the man behind House. So very iconic great, doctor show.
Great medical show.
As well as Daniel Day Kim, who previously starred on Lost, maybe one of the greatest dramas of all time.
And Hawaii Five-0.
Yes. And the series stars Freddie Highmore from Bates Motel as Dr. Sean Murphy, Richard Schiff from The West Wing, and Hill Harper from CSI and Homeland, rounding out a diverse and exceptional cast. So, clearly it's one of the most anticipated series of the fall season, and you're in luck. The Good Doctor premieres tonight on ABC. Ooh. With new episodes every Monday at 10, 9 Central, right after Dancing with the Stars.
Ooh, so many good things to watch.
Pun intended.
I love Freddie Highmore, and did you know he's actually a genius in real life?
I did not know that.
Because I am a big fan of Freddie Highmore and his career. He's actually like ranked number 3 in the UK in chess. Like, he's literally a genius.
That's crazy.
Did you know that? There's my little factoid for you. So go watch The Good Doctor. I'm really excited for that. I mean, it has medicine, it has Freddie Highmore. There.
And I do have to point out a perfect time to discuss that, as literally everyone in our live chat was bringing up PTSD and ADHD and all kinds of medical conditions and how they affect our lives, and The Good Doctor is right on that subject.
I mean, so good. And talking about other pre-existing conditions, it seems like Bree still has some previous issues with Megan.
Some pre-existing abandonment, hurt.
Abandonment issues. I mean, we kind of saw that.
Well, you know, I was happy to get a therapy shout out, because last week we were talking about Abby's not going to go to therapy. Right. Is Bree currently in therapy?
Well, we saw it in the pilot where Bree and Bree,
I know it was just a long time ago. I haven't thought
who
about
actually
it.
Suggested the therapist. So yeah, I can believe that Bree's still in therapy.
Well, therapy is frankly a good idea for a lot of the O'Briens, and I don't say that in any sort of shady way. I've gone to therapy many times in my life. I highly support it. But Bree clearly has a lot of issues. It's interesting because we've been dancing around this, what happened with Megan and why did she leave and what is the full story? We've been dancing around that. And the Bree-Megan conversation, which I loved, was an eerie moment of like, this was really serious. Even if Bree seems to be more fine with Megan now, this was really a serious thing that went down.
It did. And it was kind of awkward to watch. I mean, more so like awkward as a viewer, it was uncomfortable to watch because, you know, it's such a sensitive subject. You're like, oh, we have to go there. But yet they skirted around it, literally. And I thought the viewpoint of it outside of the wordplay bookshop, we were looking through the window. It was as if literally the audience was looking in on their life and their life situation. And it was unfortunate we didn't get into it because Bree is still hurting from this. I just hope we can finally face it and go through it and get through it, not skirt around it.
I love Brie. She's one of my favorite characters, but this is a crazy unhealthy pattern that's there, if we can call it that. You know, because this guy clearly likes her. He seems nice. He seems very genuine. He seems very interested in her. And Brie just decides, oh, I'm not going to ever speak to him again. Like, this is not normal behavior, Brie.
Do you like that mentality she had of why she didn't want to speak to Simon? That people are like books?
I wrote down, pages? the book thing was so weird. Well, she doesn't want to be disappointed, right? And I think that's what was really coming to the surface with the book stuff is she doesn't want to be disappointed.
At the end of it.
Right. And I thought this quote was so telling. I wrote it down. She said, even if it did work out, it still wouldn't work out. And to me, that just broke my heart because I think Brie is such a strong, beautiful woman with so much potential for an amazing relationship with a partner who really supports her in her writing endeavors. And this amazing man comes along who really sees her for who she is, and she just shuts it down. And, you know, I think her psychiatrist is probably right. At whatever point that was said, I think it is abandonment issues. But, you know, it's so sad to think that she would let herself miss out on such a good person because of the pain of the past. I think that's just heartbreaking.
It very is heartbreaking. I put it in my notes. It seems very cynical of Brie to look at the world in that light. Think people are, she only does like okay relationships because when they end, she won't be as hurt.
But you know what?
I thought that was very cynical, which was really sad.
It is cynical, but I feel beneath everybody's like cynicism and anger, it's always just pain. And that's why I think Megan had to be there for that conversation, is that the level of like anger that Jess shows or the level of cynicism that Brie showed today, it's like a wall that she's putting up because of the pain. And so it does make me curious. We'll get to this in predictions. It does make me curious what went down that was so painful and so scarring. But I hope that she gives Simon a chance.
Yeah, and I loved how Megan brought that up. She's like, you have to give people a chance, and even if she doesn't want to. It's like she can't just keep pushing people away like that, which is really sad.
But what do you think about Megan writing the email, presumably?
I think that was, okay, in context, that was after Megan had talked to Nell, and Nell gave Megan the wisdom, love Nell, that's like, maybe you can't deal with the past right now. The past will always be there, but you can deal with the future, you can deal with the present things that are going on right now. And that is a present situation. Brie and Simon is a present relationship.
Would you be okay if a relative or family member sent an email on your behalf to a guy that you were not speaking to currently?
Well, I'd actually be okay with it only because we know Brie actually likes Simon. We know Brie has thought about there could be a potential relationship.
And it's Megan not like, does know that. It's not like, it's not the parent.
If it was someone that she completely, if it was someone that like she did not ever want to see in her life, it would make sense that maybe she'd be upset, but she seemed like she was actually okay with it, so.
And that's like the Hallmark movie nightmare where the parent is trying to force the two people together and the girl has to be like, Mom, can't date Connor or whatever the guy's name is in the movie. So I think we eventually in the long run can forgive for the email. But I'm so rooting for Brie and Simon. Like, even above Connor and Danielle, who I love and want to see more of, I love Brie and Simon. I'm so excited to watch it continue to play out.
Absolutely, and we saw in the previews that Simon's in the next episode, so we know that this
relationship
is still going on. But let's talk about a different type of relationship, a brother relationship, Mick and Thomas. Now they have to come to this forum, open it up literally to the public about what their plans are to do with this trust and this whole development deal. Will it happen? Will it not? What were your thoughts of now this Matt Fox guy? We always hear his name, but we never see him. But he's giving all
the
these
luminous
reports.
Matt Fox. Yes. The elusive, I don't know what word
elusive,
I'm looking for.
Probably. He's giving all these reports out of context that can use against Thomas and potentially ruin him. Ruin this development, Mick would win, and everything would just go to crap, honestly. But what are your thoughts of Mick actually not using it?
Okay, so
that
first
was a lie,
of all,
I know.
Right, well, so first of all, we don't know Matt Fox. as you said, we've never met him.
He's
brilliant. I can feel for him caring about the deal. Like, I can feel for him wanting to make, like, you know, the Mick loves to say it's business, right? But also, like, as a defense against Thomas, mm-hmm. it's just business.
Just business.
At the same time, though, for this Matt Fox character, who we never see or interact with, it is a business thing. He's mm-hmm. not involved in this interpersonal drama. So I'm a little bit sympathetic. It may not be the most ethical thing to pull out this file and take things out of context and misrepresent. But I mean, I definitely understand his... He's trying to make sure that he's protecting himself and his deal. At the same time, I was really impressed with Mick, and I thought that he very much took the high road.
I thought so, too. I really thought, I was like, that was a good thing for Mick to do, because we even saw throughout this episode that Mick was so confident that he was going to win this forum, even without the adjusted reports. But I think Mick is just at the point where now it's getting dirty when other people are taking down his brother in such an unethical way that he just wanted to be the good brother that he should have always been and treated him properly throughout all this. Have some sympathy.
I thought it showed that for Mick, there are still more important things than winning. Yeah. Winning, not just in business, but winning this ridiculous, decades-long tension, argument, fight, whatever you want to call it, with his brother. There's more important things than being right. And I think that's really... A big lesson and a big thing in terms of family healing, that you got to sometimes not win, not be right.
Yeah. And they actually had a brother moment at the end. This was probably the nicest they were to each other throughout this whole season.
That we've seen.
Yeah. Or the more civil moment that we've seen between these two. And I just hope it gets better from here. Or do you think it's actually going to get worse? It's like, do you think this trusted, this whole development is still going to be an issue?
Well, I think it looks bad to the town of Chesapeake Shores that they canceled this forum. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I suspect, well, okay, honestly, if we're being real, I suspect that we're not going to hear this storyline much next week, because we'll take a break from it since it was so heavily in this one. But beyond that, I suspect Matt Fox may actually have an issue.
Will show his face?
I would love for him to show his face, but I'm just saying, I think he may have an issue with Mick. What do you want? Like, what do you want? Yeah. And how important is this deal to you? Because you canceled the forum and this looks terrible.
Do you think he would go after Mick, or do you think he would actually go after Abby? Because she's the one who's passing along this.
I have said from the beginning, there's no way Abby gets involved in this and it doesn't come back to bite her at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see.
I think Abby's jeopardy. This could be in prediction, but Abby, if we're going that route, and Matt Fox is really upset about this, he could go after Abby and not after Mick and Thomas.
Which is the last thing that Abby needs.
It's low. That's a low blow.
And it
but
would be a low
in
blow.
In fairness, it was Abby's decision to give the okay of this whole development. So if it doesn't work out, it could be on Abby.
I don't like that thought.
I don't like it either, but it's true. With this. That could be future. That could be an early,
I do agree,
later drama.
I do agree with Jordan Blackstone. And hey, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
I do agree with the comment that it would have looked worse if they had the forum and aired all the dirty laundry. Mm-hmm. But the tricky thing is this. Mick is juggling family and business, which are really butting heads with one another right now. And so... Yes, it absolutely would have been an embarrassment to them, I think, professionally and personally, to do that for him. But now I think that he's created a business problem, and Matt Fox is not going to be happy.
No.
So we will see.
No, we will definitely see. Speaking of someone else who's juggling family and business now, Trace. Trace and his...
Oh,
he's
Trace.
He's making a relationship with his parents. I mean, he always had a good relationship with his mom, but he seemed like he had a better relationship with his father this episode. Convincing both of them to go to the bridge, have a good time. Like, actually, like an actual family.
And concerned for his dad post-heart attack.
Yes.
I think the heart attack shifted the dynamic a little bit. And I think that... Yeah, I think that he still is reeling from the heart attack and a little concerned because of that.
Yes. I really liked it because it shows, it felt like during the performance at the bridge that his father, once he was there at the club, there seemed like a moment on his father's face that he was actually proud of what Trace has accomplished. He built this club. He's now performing. He's doing what he loved. And when we saw it, his father was so against it and wouldn't even give him the loan in season one. But now there seemed like a genuine moment where his father was proud of him. Did you see that?
I saw it and I thought it was moving. I feel for Trace a little bit, maybe, because it seems like in this episode, everybody loves Trace, except maybe for Abby, who's a little uncertain. Mm-hmm. Because the kids love Trace, and Mick seems to be working quite well with Trace. And his parents seem very supportive and proud. And I was so happy about that moment. So glad that they came out to the club to see him. It's just Abby who has some issues right now.
Well, okay. Do you think that was warranted, though? Because, again, this is another episode where they were kind of apart. But we saw moments where they're actively trying to have this healthy relationship, see each other during their busy lives, and make time for each other, make each other a priority. Do you believe that this will work?
Well, okay. I have so many thoughts. I really am invested in Trace and Abby. I thought it was terrible to hear that Abby and Trace hadn't seen each other in a week. That seemed really bad. Even with the tension and the discomfort of last week, I didn't get the impression that it would go a week without them seeing each other. So that was very alarming to me. I also thought it was a very bad sign that what it took for Trace to show up is needing a signature or something from Mick. Did you notice that? If they hadn't seen each other for a week and the only reason he showed up to the O'Brien property was for business, that doesn't make me like Trace or feel good about him right now.
But what did you think about him calling or texting Abby, let's go to the beach?
Okay.
Let's have a beach day.
I will acknowledge, I think by the time the episode ended and with that beach scene, I think that the tide is starting to turn. We see in the previews he's planning a camping trip. So I think that the tide is starting to turn. Ultimately, I was just very proud, honestly, of Abby for acknowledging we keep having the same conversation.
Yes.
Because they do. And honestly, as a viewer, I don't want to say that it gets tired because I still very much care about them and am invested in them. Mm-hmm. But props to Abby for acknowledging we're back to the same conversation yet again.
Back to square one. Yeah.
And they need to be making progress of some kind if they're going to continue doing this. I don't know. Right now, what that told me, that moment where he just showed up for business and then Abby said they hadn't seen each other in a week, is the relationship is operating based on convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem because initially when Abby moved back to Chesapeake Shores, it was very convenient of her. This person from high school, it was familiar, it was nice to see him again, and it was very convenient. Right now, the relationship is not convenient at all. And that is always the test of will you fight for it when it's not convenient. So we're going to have to see.
Yeah, and it's really sad because that's a small town, too. They live, like, 5 minutes away from each other. They can easily see each other if they really wanted to.
And there's 24 hours in a day. I just can't imagine it's not the New York lifestyle.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I would say this in L.A. If somebody cannot make time for you one time in a week, at least one time in a week, you know.
And we have a longer commute.
We have a much longer commute than Chesapeake Shores. But yeah, if someone can't make time for you once a week, you're in bad territory.
Yeah, I questioned it at the beginning of this episode because I was not sure. I was very worried for our fairy king and queen. But at the end of at the beach, that whole scene where Trace was like, "Ooh, like we can make this work. It's going to get better. X, Y, and Z." You know,
does that comfort you?
No matter how busy we are, we can balance our relationship, family, and careers. That comforts me. But it's also very unfortunate that Trace has to keep saying that every single episode. You can say it as many times as you want, but actually actively making it happen is a different thing.
I think it's a little bit of lip service now. I'm trying to remember who said it in the comments. Somebody pointed out, it just seems like Trace keeps saying over and over
it's
and
like
over
a mantra
again,
now.
We can make it work. Yeah, it's like the we. whatever the soccer thing is of I believe that we will win. Trace just keeps saying, I believe that we can make this work. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know. We may be having a connection issue. I'm not sure. I just, at some point, my fear is it has to change in actions.
Yeah.
Words aren't good enough. And exactly. That's why I was so happy for Abby to call it out, is words are not going to be good enough. We're going to have to change. I will give it to Trace, though. He took a bold step and he planned a camping trip, as we know. Do you guys watch the previews? I guess come here and I assume we all watch the previews because they give away so much and they make us so curious. They give us stuff to talk about. So yes, Trace did show it in actions. And I will say, I love that Abby is making relationships of all kinds her priority. She stood up for herself and left the office early, mm-hmm. which I was very glad because she was even more overwhelmed with this VP position. Yes. Yeah. And I loved her conversation with Nell about no matter how important the real world seems, you've got to remember who you're doing this for.
I love that. I bolded that because I'm going to make that a quote and put in a poster for him.
It's beautiful.
It's well, amazing.
That's just what I want Trace to remember. Does he want to be the lonely, heartbroken musician and club owner? I mean, because that's where he's heading if he doesn't prioritize a relationship at least once a week.
Yep, exactly.
So,
but I do have to give it to Trace. He is trying. It seems like he's trying. And so does Abby. I mean, she's there. She's not really moving.
Do you think there's working, I feel a little bit bad about asking this, but do you think that there is a maturity gap between the two of them? Or is it just priorities?
I think it's priorities.
There are moments where Abby seems more mature and grounded to me than Trace.
I can understand that, but we don't see Trace, like, partying or anything. I mean, it's not like he was with his band partying. Well, there was that one night where they were touring.
But this is a good question because they're in Nashville, but one of the tense moments when he came to visit was when he said Lee is packing up her stuff. Well, why is Lee packing up her stuff?
Is she planning on moving to Chesapeake Shores?
I thought she was.
Oh, well, I mean, it's kind of...
I thought that was a given. Slightly. I don't know.
I mean, it says, like, she was packing. It sounds like she's moving to Chesapeake Shores, but it can just cause so much more drama. I'm so over this triangle. We don't need this triangle. We don't need it.
No, but my point is, we're going to see what happens post-camping. But if the band is coming back to Chesapeake Shores, I don't know we're over the hump.
It's going to just keep creating that rift between them to get even wider. I don't know. It's not going to be pretty. Anything else about this episode? I mean, I loved all the moments Nell imparted her wisdom, like always, but...
You know, I actually thought Nell's wisdom to Megan, which you mentioned earlier, was so profound about, especially when it comes to family, not everybody is ready or willing to deal with the past. And sometimes I think the best act of love that you can do is just showing people I'm here in the present. I'm here to support you. I'm here to care for you. I'm here for what you need in the present. I thought the first s'mores eating contest was a beautiful idea.
I love s'mores. I have s'mores every year.
I thought you were going to say every night or every week. Gosh. And I was like, oh my goodness.
If I had it every night, I'd be 50 pounds heavier.
But I would watch Chesapeake Shores and eat s'mores.
Yeah, we should probably bring some s'mores snacks and eat them.
Let's all live tweet with some s'mores in a future week.
That sounds like an excellent idea. I did think Megan had a lot of mom moments in this episode. There was that quick moment where Jess was freaking out in the wordplay, and then like Megan just whispers, like, you can do this, you know, and she gave that extra moral support there. And then especially with Abby and all that, it just felt like Megan was there, and she's doing all the things that she can do as a mom right now, supporting her kids, and even as little as something as you can do it, you know.
Yeah, it was such a good episode for Megan.
It was.
And I, honestly, I just think there's so much stuff from the past that this family is still reliving. I mean, I thought that's what this episode was really all about. And, I actually don't put this all on Megan, because we all have our own experience of what we went through, what we experienced, what we felt. And, it's something that I think is very important to realize in life, that you are responsible for doing what you can to heal you. So I'm glad Megan's there. I'm glad she, I mean, she's taking the full responsibility on herself of, we've got to heal the family now. But at the end of the day, Bree has to take responsibility for healing herself as well. And all of them do. You know, Bree especially, I'm just thinking of because of this pattern and the abandonment issues and the I'm just going to shut it down before I can get disappointed and hurt. There's a lot of healing that still needs to happen for this family. As always, I am rooting for the healing.
Yes. Lots of more healing to be seen in this season. We only have a handful left of episodes, and that's it.
I know. What did they say? Two? How do they word it? Two episodes before the finale.
So there's three more.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to a little bit of news, shall we?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay. So if you follow the Chesapeake Shores family, Amelia Earhart is actually doing a Christmas movie. She's filming one right now, and she's very active on Instagram and her social medias, and she posted a picture of herself in a Christmas attire for her movie, and then she posted another picture of herself, like, literally the next day in the same outfit, and she's working on, you know, the same film. But I'm really excited. It's untitled right now. But she's working on a Christmas movie.
But it's this year.
This year, yes.
And doesn't Andrew have one?
Yes. And he just wrapped one, like, a couple weeks ago. So we have a lot of Christmas movies that we'll be watching and probably...
We'll be watching them anyway.
Yes.
It's just extra cherry on top from the Chesapeake Shores family.
Things to look forward to. More Christmas movies, yay. And then Barbara Niven, actually yesterday, as of September 17th, or was that 16th? My days are all confused. This weekend, she presented at the Hero Dog Awards, which is an annual event that happens every year that Crown Media and Hallmark puts on. And this is a picture of her with Robin Ganzert, who's actually the CEO of American Humane Society. So that will be airing in October of 2017. So look out for that. Barbara presented last year, and Barbara's a big advocate for animals as well. So go check that out when that airs in October.
Yes. Love, Barbara. I am very excited for that event. I also saw Wells from The Bachelor is at that event as well, which I just think is entertaining. Sweet Wells.
That makes sense. But other than that, all right, let's get to it.
It's that time.
Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. So I had one prediction, but you can go first.
Okay. I was going to let you go first, but sure. Okay. I predict with the every other week relationship rotation, Danielle will be back as a storyline next week. And I predict particularly that because I think Danielle will be helpful for Connor in guiding him on to his next thing. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly he passed the bar.
Yes.
Which I don't know if we addressed. Congratulations, Connor, for that.
New York bar, which is a great state to practice law in.
Yeah, and a very hard thing to pass. So, congrats to Connor on that, and I predict Danielle is going to resurface and hopefully help him find his way wherever he ends up. Bree is definitely going to have to work through the past, and I think we're going to have more of her journey, more of course, Megan's story. I think Simon is here to stay. I think he really likes her. That is the relationship I feel most certain of between Kevin and Sarah, Connor and Danielle, Jess and David. Although I do think Jess and David is pretty clearly blossoming, but I really want Bree and Simon to work out, and I think he really does like her. Okay, I think more about Megan, as I already said, has to come out because Megan is feeling bold and ready to go there. And then Abby and Trace camping. I don't know what to think because of the very confusing I'm sorry and dialogue of the trailer. But I definitely think that they will have a new conversation at the camping trip. That is a prediction I will make.
Okay, yeah. That was also my second prediction. I did have multiple predictions. I think Connor, actually, now that he's passed the bar and he's not happy, I think he might start his own law firm in Chesapeake Shores. It would give him a reason to stay.
This cracks me up because I just have to say, as an entrepreneur, this show is so entrepreneurial. We have Bree taking over a bookstore. We have Jess with the bed and breakfast. We have Trace opening the club.
We have Mick building all the buildings.
Show for entrepreneurs,
Megan,
I gotta say.
Megan choosing all the art, crafts, and events that's happening. It just makes sense if Connor started his own law firm in Chesapeake Shores.
Just another O'Brien entrepreneur.
And then he literally has the whole town as his clients. I mean, it makes sense.
It does make sense. What was your other prediction?
And then also, this camp scene, this whole camping trip, I don't think things are gonna end well. I think sometimes some of the worst breakups happen when you go away to somewhere. Like, you want to do something. I think there might be a moment where Trace and Abby have a heart-to-heart, where they are in their relationship, what their status is, and they might call it, like, quits, or just put it on pause right now, the relationship. They're on a break, essentially.
You think they're on a break now, or you think they're going to end up on a break?
I think they're going to end up on a break. They're going to call it, like, let's put their relationship on pause right now. Like, they might go back to it, or they just need to stop what they're doing right now. So they can focus on their own thing.
Which will make me, and is already making me so upset, because Trace is doing so well with the kids.
I know.
So that makes me really sad to think about them parting ways.
And I think it's Abby's the one who's initiating this.
No, I thought she was drawing very clear lines for herself all through this episode with her, I'm actually going home for the night. Like, good for Abby, because I think she needs to stand up for herself. And I don't know that this relationship requires that yet. We'll see what unfolds on the camping trip. But, you know, the truth is, anytime you end up in a new environment, you see the other person in a new way.
Yeah.
So either they will see more of each other and remember the spark and realize, actually really do love each other, let's make this work, or they'll see each other in a different way. And
I think they definitely love each other. I think that's already set in stone, and we can all agree that they're end game. But we know that they're not working right now, and I think Abby wants to probably call it off as of right now before things get worse than they already are.
Before he bonds with the kids any more than he already is, because that's going to be hard on them.
And then it would make sense if Lee came back, and then it just opens an unfortunate opportunity that, like, maybe they can bond in a relationship. I'm not for that relationship at all, but if they put Trace and Abby on pause, it opens the doors for other things to happen.
Now, you still think their end game OTP final couple of the show.
Yes.
I agree. And I have to ask Chris in the chat, who said, I don't think Trace and Abby will become / last as a couple. Is that a series long prediction? Crossing our fingers we get a season 3? Or is that an end of this season? That's my question. We will see.
We will see. Because I know too many moments in life where, like, you plan a really nice getaway or something. It's like you plan something to do together to finally officially end something.
It happens in everybody's life. If his club schedule is dinner time on for the night open, and her schedule is a 9-to-5 job, and it doesn't work for her to go to the club, and it doesn't really work for him to go
to
her
work,
that is literally a direct conflict.
It is.
So,
passing ships.
We will see.
We will see. But other than that, thanks everyone for tuning in to the live chat, watching us, joining in the conversation every single week. And we only have a few more episodes.
Three more.
We have a special guest next week.
Oh, are we announcing that?
We do. Yeah, we're going to announce it. Get ready for it. Michael Burns is joining us next week, you guys, the executive producer of the show.
I forgot we haven't announced it, but it's next week.
It's next week.
Who is one of the best live tweeters and literally gives such good insight. And I forgot we were going to announce it today, but I'm so excited to have you on, Michael.
Yes, we're excited to pick his brain and talk all about Chesapeake Shores. In the meantime, Rick and everyone, keep following you.
Yes, Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove, DrLoveGrove.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. We only have a few more episodes left. But still a lot more to talk about. Thanks, you Chessies, and we'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.